welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So I was completely disengaged from the world of politics last week because I was doing my day job off in a different state. And so that was when I came back to it this weekend. Boy, was I in for a surprise.
Yeah. Look, we were off last week. It was nice. I didn't have to like hard dig in and read. I was just sort of tangentially reading. I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're shipping migrants around the country. That's cool. That's great. That's not going to backfire in anyone's face. No. And then it just somehow got worse from there. I didn't want to dig too much into it. I just wanted to hear like the good nuggets of the Trump special master situation. And it was like, oh, this is really good. This is really fun and interesting. And then this week it was like, oh, it's getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And I was like, oh, well, we're back this week. This is perfect timing.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then on top of that, we got a nice surprise from New York to put Trump and his whole family right in the middle of, as I coined it in our chat, illegal gangbang that's going on right now.
I mean, he's getting it from all sides. Ugh, yikes. So, all right. So let's get right into it. The first obviously big one is I want a special master. I want a special master. Wait, not like that. So Donald Trump got his, he got what he asked for, right? I mean, this guy is notorious for playing "You Can't Always Get What You Want" by the Rolling Stones at his rallies. Well, irony has come home.
Also weirdly and somewhat appropriate now with a lot of the news that's been going on, apparently plays like the Undertaker's theme music, which is like the funeral dirge.
Yeah, like a bit weird. Like yeah. A bit weird. But yes, he also does that. And like a weird remix of Hogan's Real American. Which look, I'm a little happy he's using it because it's kind of great. Like for a politician, not him. I'd rather another politician use that. But that's like, how did no one use that all these years?
It's like we discussed. That should be the president's song. Now the fact that he's using it puts, you know, a little bit of a damper on that idea.
All I can see is that meme of Hogan writing the N. that's all I can see, which very well might be the photoshopped image for this week. It's pretty good. So, yeah, so he did get, in fact, what he wanted. So he got his special master because he asked Judge Cannon, you know, look, I need the special master to determine what's classified and what's not, and what's executive privilege and what's not.
Yeah, right? Forgetting the fact, by the way, that like the classification of the documents is not even really the issue at hand. Like it's the fact that he has the documents. But like you said, he wanted a special master to review the privilege status
right.
of stuff. And, not only did he get a special master, they got the one that they requested. As yes. well, like they asked for Raymond Deary to be the special master. Why, I don't know. Like I didn't get any information as to why they wanted him specifically.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because by all accounts, like Deary is kind of like a hard ass, and I guess they thought maybe he would be a hard ass against the feds. But in favor of a president, right? Like, I guess he thought, like, oh, he's got respect for the executive or something. Like, I feel, and I've long said this, and I don't have any proof of this, but I've long said this. It's like, I'm sure that Trump read, like, the first half of a Nixon, like, biography. And, you know, and he was like, don't need to read anymore. Nailed it. This guy's got all the fucking moves, right?
What a smart move getting guys to break into the hotel to steal information. That's brilliant, brilliant maneuvering on his part.
I don't need to read anymore. I got it. And it just closes the book, right? And like very similarly with Deary, like Deary's also like an older guy, right? And so like I think that there's part of it like thinking, oh, like maybe he'll be kind of like, I'm too old. I believe in the president, you know, that type of bullshit. Right. But like, again, reading half the story and not reading the other half, right. Deary worked on the FISA court. what are you doing? Like, the FISA court, by all accounts, as someone said, is like a rubber stamp for the feds. Like, when they come to the FISA court, they're like, hey, man, we need to do a wiretap on Osama bin terrorist.
It's got to stay secret. Like, no one
gotta,
can know about it.
Right, and it's got to be done right now. The FISA court, unless there is some really egregious shit, the FISA court rubber stamps it, right? And that doesn't mean that these things that they're rubber stamping are bullshit or anything like that. But they generally don't get brought cases by the federal government that are nonsense, right? So their respect for those agencies coming to them and asking for permission is pretty high because, one, the bar is high, and they almost always meet that bar, right? So, you know, just inevitably, they're like, yeah, of course, right? So this guy understands what it's like to work around secrets. This guy understands the urgency. He understands national security urgency, things like that. Why you would pick him is beyond me. Like, and so, much like an idiot, they picked him. And again, both sides needed to agree on this, right?
Yeah.
The Trump side was like, we want Raymond Deary. And the feds were like, okay. Like, we agree. Like, that should have been like, wait, whoa. You know what? We changed our mind. Like, you guys aren't even fighting. Like, no.
Always suspicious when someone accepts your first offer. It's like,
right. Exactly.
I just been bamboozled.
Like, I will take it. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
And so they got him. And basically, he's like, listen, I'm going to need you to go ahead to Trump's lawyers. Like, all right, you guys said that the stuff was declassified. I'm going to need you to, like, tell me how you did it. Write it down.
Sure. Show me proof.
And he was like, ooh, we can't do that. And he's like, well, you could just do a signed affidavit. And they're like, ooh, the way our crimes are set up, we're not really into doing that. And so they refused to tell the special master that they wanted. Mm-hmm. They refused to tell the special master based on the idea that in case Trump is indicted, they don't want to give away their legal strategy. Yes. That's their strategy here, is like, in case our guy gets indicted, we don't want to tell the feds what we're going to try to beat him. It's like,
yeah. Also, we need you to sign an affidavit. We can't. Well, why not? Because we'd be lying. Like, it's not. We can't do that.
Like, why won't you sign the affidavit? Because it's devastating to our case. Like, I mean, the only reason a lawyer and a client would not want to sign affidavit to prove. Their argument, not to quote unquote disprove the other side, but to prove their argument, is because once it's down on paper, there's no getting out of it, right? Like, there's no like weaseling out. Well, like, if I said it, well, I actually meant this. No, if you wrote it down, you meant what you wrote. And if they write it down, they're in a world of trouble because they will immediately perjure themselves.
And we're at the point now that, like, Deary is even saying, like, if you can't provide any basis of fact, like that these documents are declassified, or even the suggestion of, he's like, I'm not even going to look at the documents. Like, I'm just going to be like,
yeah, the government,
it's a wrap.
Yeah. Like, you know, that is a devastating line. Like, I don't even need to look at the documents. If you can't tell me why I should believe you, if you're saying that we declassified them and you can't tell me how, no, it's because you never did. Because, again, this is the difference, and this is why a courtroom matters so much more than television, right? Mm-hmm. On TV, you can push narratives, you can say anything, and you don't need proof. Especially if you're a Republican, you don't need proof. You can just say, well, yeah, he declassified. I've seen tons and tons of conservatives repeat that line on social media. He declassified it. Now, when push comes to shove, when you are in a courtroom with a judge and they go, show me how you declassified it, they go, we can't show you that. Yeah, because you didn't. Like, what the fuck? Like, so it's kind of hilarious. And then Deary also made the point of, like, Trump was saying that the documents aren't classified. Like, don't believe the federal government that are saying they're classified. Like, because they're not, necessarily classified. And he goes, the fact that they say classified on them tells me that they're classified. Like, and if that's true, then the obvious, like, next part of that is, without them saying it, is that means the government owns those documents.
Yeah.
They don't they can't classify a document they don't own. And one of the things that came out this week, which is crazy, I literally read it and burst out laughing while I was at work. They're now making the point that, well, on some of the documents, Trump might have made some notes, like scribbled some notes on it, and those are executive privilege. So henceforth, those documents belong to him. What? So if I go into a bank and I just write my name on a couple of dollar bills, I can take those?
I own these dollars now.
My name is on
these hundreds are mine. Yeah, my name's right there.
Like, what are you talking about? I scribbled some nonsense onto a document, so now it's mine? Like, what are you, like, a kid? Like, well, I licked this apple. It's mine now. Like, no, dude, that's not how it works. So,
the right hook following this stiff jab was just mere hours before we came on. The Justice Department, which applied for a stay in Judge Cannon's ruling, saying that they couldn't view the materials while this was being adjudicated, a three-judge panel, including two Trump appointees, by the way, said no, they can absolutely view the documents while this is going on. And furthermore, we can't figure out how the fuck Judge Cannon arrived at her ruling in the first place. Like, there's literally no basis in law for her decision.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I mean, look, so the 11th Circuit has 11 judges on it. How it works, if folks aren't aware, they pick three random judges. Like, I think six of the 11 are Trump appointees, and they pick at random three. And so they pick these three at random, and they are the three judges to handle it. And they're like, nah, which is hilarious. But it just goes to show you, there is no guarantee once you put one of these federal judges up on the bench that they're going to do your bidding.
As we've said before, there's literally no reason for them to, because they're literally there for life. You can't do anything to them.
Yeah. And what are you going to do? Impeach a judge for just a general ruling?
Well, and that's the thing. It's not like the president can do it. Congress can.
They're not going to.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead and kick that judge off while Biden's president. Go ahead and see what happens. He's just getting a Biden appointed judge, dude. Like, and he's appointing more judges than Trump. Like, yeah. He's on a fucking roll. Except for his aren't Nazis, and, like, you know, they went to law school. They didn't sniff the shoes of someone walking out of a courtroom, and they're like, oh, that's close enough. So can I be a judge? Like, so yeah. This special master thing. I was like, my attitude was when the special master was like, okay, they're going to name one, my immediate thought, and we talked about this, was this isn't going to much matter because of the speed of which national security things need to go. Mm-hmm. Turns out, like, I was right, but I also didn't think this judge was going to come out fucking guns blazing, like, get this dirty bullshit out of my face, which has been great. Look, Deary has basically said, like, I want to have this shit wrapped up by, like, October 24th. Like, knock it off.
Yeah.
Like, Harry
Lubin had the best tweet. He's like, it's the Trump team's bad luck that they actually asked for a real judge.
Mistake. What were you thinking? So, yeah, I just think it's hilarious.
Isn't it funny? Like, I know we talked about this, or we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Isn't it funny to watch them flail in a situation where they can't just outspend the other side in a court case, where they can't just bully someone out of the courtroom? It's just very entertaining to watch them struggle to keep their head above water.
Yeah. And yes, that, and it's also really fun to watch them get their sort of, like, they not even just outspend, but they just can't bullshit. You can't bullshit a FISA court judge on national security issues. Like, Trump doesn't really understand. I mean, my argument is Trump doesn't really understand classifications and compartmentalize sensitive data and stuff like that. I don't think he understands or cares about any of it. Mm-hmm. He certainly doesn't care, but I don't think he really understands it either. Like, apparently he was getting advice. Chris Hayes had a whole thing about this. He was getting advice from like some like weird right-wing guy who's like not an actual lawyer. He just has like a bunch of money and he's been like around like kind of being a dickhead in politics for like the last like 30 or 40 years. Like he was just listening to that guy over his own lawyers. And like Eric Hirschman, who is apparently going to be a witness for the grand jury in front of the grand jury, which is not good for Trump.
No, that dude loves looking like a fucking pompous prick.
Oh yeah. No. And like, he loves just being like, one me. Like, dude, I'm out. Like, that guy basically told them, like, listen, don't fuck around with sensitive documents. Like, do not. Like, he is on record of saying that to them. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, okay. like Eric Hirschman, while an asshole, lives by the J, dude, I told ya lifestyle, which I respect. But yeah, I mean,
for those who don't remember, Eric Hirschman was the one telling John Eastman to get himself a good fucking criminal defense attorney.
Yeah. It's like, let me give you some free fucking advice, my guy. Like, every time they show that guy at the January 6th hearing, every time they play those clips, I'm like, this is not the guy you want in front of a grand jury, dude. Like, this is like, this guy has no compunction to protect you. None.
And it's so funny because like all like Hirschman, Pat Cipollone, like there's a lot of guys who like represented Trump through the impeachments that were even like, yeah, this guy's fucking wilding out here. Like you literally represented him getting impeached or getting in the trial to remove him from office. And they were just like, nah, this guy's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think Hirschman was like an integral part of the team during the first impeachment. Mm-hmm. But like by the time the end of Trump's tenure was coming up, like he was just like, now the only thing I want to hear out of you is peaceful transition. Like
orderly transition.
Or orderly transition. Like, nah, like keep saying that shit because guess what, motherfucker? You're fucked.
Dude, he talked to that man like he was a child. Yeah. Like John Eastman's a grown ass man. And he just like say these words, fucking idiot.
Yeah, and he did. He was like, what did he say? He was like, he said orderly transition. I was like, look, I don't know how like true to the words that story is. I want it to be 100% true. Like, say my name.
I mean, to be fair, like John, like Eric Hirschman looks like physically intimidating, at least that view of the camera that we keep seeing of him does. And John Eastman looks like a dude who anyone could kick his ass. So like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was 100% true.
Orderly transition. That's right. Fucking do it. But yeah, look. Him talking to the grand jury in this is going to be disastrous for Trump.
Yeah.
Disaster. So,
and again, in case we also forgot, he still has to answer to his legal troubles in Georgia at some point.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like with all the videos that you're into, there's yet another dick coming from New York.
Like, yeah.
So Tish James has one. She put her strap on and she is ready to go to work on Donald Trump and his family. All of them. Which is kind of, I think that's the stuff Ted Cruz is really into. So yeah, like disaster, man. Like calling for the special master actually made it worse because the way Deary is handling this, it makes it harder for, again, like you mentioned right before we came on, the 11th Circuit judges, they can't just like override what he's saying because it makes too much fucking sense.
Right.
Like it, you can't just push up any sort of cockamamie bullshit now. But you and I were talking offline and I was saying that Chris Hayes had kicked up a theory about who's the first judge who granted the special Cannon. He was saying like, maybe she did that because she was too scared to tell Trump basically what Deary said, you know, like, and she was just like, oh, I don't want to say it. Let that other guy say
yeah.
It.
Maybe you shouldn't appoint, you know, 38-year-old judges with zero experience. I don't know. To federal lifetime appointments.
Listen to Brad. You think you know more than a 38-year-old judge. Get out of here. You don't. She's still doing shots on the weekends, man. Probably. But yeah, like I do like the idea of her just being like, I don't really feel comfortable with that. Let this other guy do it. And Deary was like, yeah, I'll tell you. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Get the fuck out of here.
let me punt on this. Which makes her look like absolute dog shit, by the way, too. Like,
absolutely does. It's,
yeah, like completely hung her out to dry, which I don't know how she couldn't see coming, but you know.
Yeah, but look, people's personal cowardice is a thing that Trump exploits a lot across his career. Like just not wanting to tangle with him. And look, I get it as a judge. Do you really want to tangle with him? I mean, people will send death threats and everything else, right? So she might be scared. Maybe she's not. I don't know. But it's your job to rule properly no matter what. Like, I don't know, get some security or something. Like, stop being a coward. All right, next up. We're just shipping migrants around like fucking UPS packages.
No. Shipping that's not fair. I feel like accuracy is important on the show. I don't think it's fair to just throw terms flippantly around. Ron DeSantis was involved in human trafficking of migrants. I think that's
asylum.
We have to be accurate.
Yes. Yes, we do. So for some reason, these Venezuelan asylum seekers cross the border in Texas, and immediately Ron DeSantis went into action by
in Texas, by the way, Ron DeSantis, notably not the governor of Texas,
right? From Florida, he went to work by, getting these people picked up, lying to them, having them be lied to, and then taking two charter planes, and flying these people to Martha's Vineyard, which is a notably blue area. This is pretty illegal. Like even Ted Cruz was forced to admit that on Sean Hannity's show. Like, yeah, from a legal standpoint, isn't that really a great idea? Yeah, no shit. And if you're wondering, well, why is it illegal? They're not citizens. That's not how the law works. You can't just do crimes to people who are just not citizens and expect that to be cool.
Like, do people think that that's a thing?
Yes. Conservatives really? Definitely think that's a thing. They're dumb. They're cool. Dumb. Brad, come on. This is episode what? Come on. These people don't know shit. These are the same people still arguing, but he declassified the documents. Well, where did he do that? He declared it. I mean, I don't know. But here's the problem. They fucked up. I don't know if people like, is it that Ron DeSantis has never been outside of Florida? Is it that Ron DeSantis doesn't know that Martha's Vineyard is a very, very rich area? I'm sure that he does know that. I know that he knows that it's blue. Does he know that like a lot of lawyers go there? Like a lot, as people have been saying, you can't drop off a bunch of, asylum seekers on fucking Lawyer Island and not expect something to happen.
Notably one lawyer not there anymore, Alan Dershowitz, because of course he famously was shunned for
run out Martha's Vineyard. I can't even go to Martha's Vineyard, for God's sake. Like, dude, you were fucking kids. Like, you were involved in fucking kids. He's like, all right, that's fair. They decided to pick these people up. What's wild is like they literally created fake brochures that took information from like the Massachusetts like their program to like relocate, you know, migrants and stuff like that, which these people do not qualify for because they did not come into Massachusetts, right? But they like copy and pasted shit out of there to make it seem more real. They told them that they would get work and shelter and all these other things. And they didn't even tell them they were dropping them off at Martha's Vineyard until like right before they landed. This is a stunt. I think I can say that. This cost Florida $12 million to do. I don't get conservatives who say they care about that are fiscal conservatives, who back shit like this. This feels really, really silly.
Because somehow they think that it would cost more than $12 million to just, you know, take these people and provide them with some level of assistance, which is laughable because it would cost a fraction of it.
Was there 12 million of them? Like, did you have to pay there's more than a dollar?
There's 50. And here's the best part. So like you said, you know, he dropped them in the middle of fucking lawyer island, and like all the lawyers there were like, oh, like what a, like, I'd love to mount Ron DeSantis' head on my fucking wall. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And let's sue them. And Ron DeSantis, when asked about this, when asked to comment on it, had the chutzpah to say, oh, that's just political theater.
So what was this?
I'm just saying.
It amazes me that, by the way, then Greg Abbott did the same thing, mm-hmm. right? He's not
going to let Ron DeSantis one up him.
Of course not. He took asylum seekers and he sent them to D.C. outside of the vice president's residence. Again, the original Martha's Vineyard fucking drop off, or human trafficking, mm-hmm. as you put it, which is accurate. They did that. They didn't tell the people of Massachusetts. They were just like, immigrants, right? Like, surprise, motherfucker. But here's the thing. People of Massachusetts and Martha's Vineyard specifically, they just like took care of these people.
Yeah, that's the thing that's kind of befuddling to me. Like, what was the end result here? Like, were you hoping that like all the richy riches in Martha's Vineyard would be like, oh, immigrant poors, and like kick them out and be like, and then you could be like, ah, see, blue states hate immigrants too. We gotcha. But like, no, they're just like, no, we're gonna do it with the end of 30 of these people because we're not psychopaths.
Right. Like, you just help people. Right. Like, you figure out the systems and how to help them as far as like citizenship, if that's a possibility. These are asylum seekers. So, yes, like, you worry about all that stuff secondary. But in the short term, just give people food, just give them shelter, because that's what you're supposed to do. Like, that's not even a Christian thing. That's not that shouldn't even be a liberal conservative thing. That should just be a human thing. But conservatives are like, aha, we'll see what they're going to do. And these people were like, we're going to just treat them like people. Like, I guess that's what we're doing.
And then sue you.
Yeah. Like, motherfucker, we're not done. I'm not done with you. granted, we're going to take care of these people, but we're going to fuck you up. Like, we haven't forgotten about that. Like, we're going to make your life a living hell. But it's a really weird take that I bet you're as much of a piece of shit as I am. No, yeah. Not really. Like, no, we walk the walk, man. Like, again, I feel like people don't go to blue cities. These people who are like, the blue cities are the worst and all that. Like, you ever go there? Like, yeah, we got crime. Like, of course, there's crime everywhere. But, like, it's generally fine. Like, people try to take care of other people. Like, we got poverty issues and shit like that. But, like, you're not just going to drop a bunch of people, like, with kids and, like, babies. And we're just going to be like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's never going to happen. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's just really weird. That shouldn't happen in any part of the country.
Like, DeSantis has those cities in his state. Like, have you been to Miami or Tampa or, you know, Jacksonville or like any population center? Not Tallahassee. Tallahassee's gross. But like have you been to any
it's population a real place. Centers in your state? Right. No, but those are blue cities. He doesn't fuck with them. Anything in the Miami-Dade region, he's like, and Broward, he's like, fuck those places, nuke them. Like, he don't give a shit. So it's, you know, like, it's just really funny. This stunt, and it is a stunt, is getting a class action lawsuit. Three of the migrants are suing for compensatory emotional distress and punitive damages. Good, they should. Not to be outdone, though.
This is great. If I may quote, the Joker from the 1989 or 1990 film, I guess it was
89
film, Batman. He stole my balloons.
Trump wanted to bus murderers to Democratic cities. Former DHS chief of staff says. Yeah, he was actually pissed. Trump was quite literally pissed that Ron DeSantis stole his flow. Like, you know, as Soldier Boy would say, he stole my whole fucking flow, like bar for bar. And look, so his plan when he was president, this psychopath was like, he wanted them to pick up people at the border and find out whether they were murderers and rapists. How would you know? I don't know. But he says, quote, he wanted us to identify the murderers, the rapists, and the criminals, and in particular, make sure they did not incarcerate them, but drop them off in blue cities. So your plan as the president was to drop off a bunch of murderers in like regular blue cities so that they could hopefully murder American citizens. What? Like, who the fuck is voting for this guy? Like, look, I
people who think that's an amazing plan.
Like, okay, here's the weird thing. I can even give Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott some credit of being like, well, here's some migrants, blue cities. How are you going to deal with it? Like, okay, like, it's a stupid, dumb, like, it's also, not only is it a dumb plan, it's also a plan like people used 60 years ago, like, fucking disgusting racist segregationist use, right? Mm-hmm. I can at least respect, if you want to use that word, I can at least respect that. Like, they're just innocent people. This guy was like, how about we defrost the villains from Demolition Man and throw them into blue cities? That's basically his plan. Like, what the fuck? Like, he's Simon Phoenix at that point. Like, oh shit, Jeffrey Dahmer's here. I love that guy. Let's just send him in. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Pull the Mexicans out of cryostasis.
Get them all.
Send them to San Angeles. That's not a real place, sir. I saw it in a movie. It has to be real.
They wore very funny little clothing. Yeah, I just I don't get that. Like, that's insane. Like, and how do you find out which one? Like, hey man, did you do a lot of murdering?
Well, it's part of their questionnaire when they come in. Like, how many people have you murdered? Like, oh, three. Six? Oh shit! I wasn't supposed to say anything. God, yeah. I gotcha.
Oh man, they got us. How many rapes? 12 rapes. Oh, guess where you're going? You're going to Martha's Vineyard. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, again, I get why conservatives would think that's clever. That's also, like, really, like, mustache-twirling villainy. Like, like, that's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. That alone should disqualify him from ever running for president again. Like, that's
I mean, I can think of, like, a gajillion things alongside of it that also...
Of course,
like he's quite literally, again, as savvy as he is as like a media manipulator,
right?
He's quite literally one of the dumbest people in a position of power.
Yeah, no, that you know, I don't have
one of the absolute stupidest people that's ever held public office.
Yeah, yeah. What's the opposite of touche? Agree. I don't have any points to make against that. You're absolutely right. It's wild how savvy he can be in like walking right up to the line and like certain things and like just playing it just like hard enough, but like, you know, having like plausible deniability about certain things, but where he's like, why don't we drop a bunch of murderers off? Like, what? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, again, this is the same guy that like, let's throw a nuclear missile at a hurricane. That'll show it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That was not a good one. That was not one of his finer moments.
What was it? Do we need to vacuum the forest or whatever the fuck it is? I can't remember like what his plan was to prevent forest fire.
Yeah, you gotta sweep the floors, man.
That's right. Sweep the forest floor.
What an idiot.
Brooms out.
All right, let's talk about the DOJ doing some really good work outside of Trump. Department of Justice charges 47 people with stealing $250 million from the pandemic program meant to provide meals for needy kids. Jesus Christ. According to the department, the scheme was the largest COVID-19 related fraud uncovered by investigators to date. There's so many more. The defendants are facing a range of charges, including conspiracy, wire fraud, money laundering, and playing and receiving illegal kickbacks. So basically, the defendants, prosecutor said, set up a network of shell companies connected to the Minnesota-based nonprofit Feeding Our Future to exploit the federal child nutrition program. They're basically supposed to provide meals to kids that are from low-income families. They, of course, didn't. They lied. Now, they originally, the company, there's a great quote here. The company went from receiving and distributing, dispersing approximately $3.4 million in federal funds to sites under its sponsorship in 2019, or under sponsorship. In 2019, that number jumped to $200 million. These motherfuckers were pocketing all of the money, lying about feeding these kids. They absolutely didn't feed any kids, or very little. They bought real estate in Minnesota, Kenya, Turkey, luxury cars, jewelry. They funded international travel. Yeah, they were doing it up.
Dude, why do these people always find, like, the worst way possible to devise these schemes?
Yeah, if you're scamming to feed the kids.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, god damn. It's amazing, though.
And I didn't even see this story because the story that was getting all the play over the past week or so was the Brett Favre text messages that came out.
Yeah, talk about that. I only sort of tangentially heard about
it. So basically, like, Brett Favre received a shitload of money from PPP loan. Mm-hmm. And it came out, and he was charged with, they were trying to recoup some of that money. And it came out that his, like his, you know, program, like, he took money from Mississippi State, essentially, like, in the millions of dollars. And there's a text message that came out to one of the people that he's collaborating with that are like, hey, like, there's no way that, like, the media can track this back and find out where this money came from, right? Like, in doing this.
So, like, Brett Favre should go to jail, right?
Probably. But he won't because he's white and Brett Favre. So,
like, that guy should have to give back all of that money. All of it.
Well, I think he has to anyway. Or no, this wasn't even related to PPP. I'm sorry. This is, yeah, so basically, welfare money to the state of from the state of Mississippi was allocated to him. And it got funneled through, and it got funneled through a nonprofit organization, which the governor was aware of. And eventually, Favre used it to build a volleyball facility at the University of Southern Mississippi.
But not for the poor kids who are actually on welfare.
No. Yeah, here's the quote from his text message to Nancy New, who was the executive director of the Mississippi Community Education Center, which is where the money was funneled through. Quote, if you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much?
Yo, you already have goo gobs of money from playing football. What is, yeah, like, wow. Being rich is a corrosive thing for a lot of people. Like, that's amazing that you could have, I assume, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's Brett Favre. He's probably has hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah, from his career.
How much it was money so it was need? So embarrassing that the guy that wrote his biography a few years back, which was a generally glowing praise of him, even among, like, sexual misconduct allegations that were made against him a long time ago, what literally came out on Twitter in the wake of this news is like, hey, I wrote the Brett Favre biography. Don't buy my book.
Wow.
like he does not deserve it.
Wow. But again, that's amazing to me. What could possibly possess you to be like, I got $100 million. What if I had $200 million? Like,
it could be because you're a massive piece of shit. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, for all those people who got sacks on Brett Favre when he was playing, kudos to you. Yeah. Should have hit harder.
Also, non-coincidentally, Brett Favre, hardcore Republican, big time Trump guy. So,
of course.
Yeah. Cause they all run together.
Yeah. Well, we should be checking Tom Brady's, his work. Probably. Fuck that guy too. Yikes. All right, let's talk about
just, but before we get there, just if you're going to embezzle money, like, just can you not do it through like public help programs and like programs to feed kids and stuff like that? Like, can you at least do it through the normal bullshit embezzling process that people, you know, go through, like, you know, hedge funds and shit like that? Like, can we do stuff that, you know, rich people do instead of like exploiting public gain?
Yeah, but that's what rich people do.
That's true.
In fairness, like, rich people love fucking over poor people. Like, and then being like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you piece of shit. It's like, I did, but you stole all my bootstraps. And then you sold them back to me for $30. What a dick. All right, let's talk about Tish James. New York Attorney General Letitia James filed a sweeping civil suit Wednesday against President Donald Trump, his business, and his three dumb eldest kids. It's kind of sad. Tiffany doesn't get chosen for anything.
Doesn't get mentioned. By the way, did you see Bill Barr on CNN talking about this?
Bill Barr?
No. Bill Barr, yes.
Oh, God.
He's back to being a piece of shit. He's like, massive overreach by Tish James. I don't see why you had to drag his kids into it. They can't be expected to you know what's going on. I'm just like, you do realize like two of his kids ran the fucking company that is being accused of fraud, right? Like, you get that? Like, you understand? Also, his kids are like in their 40s or 38 years old in the case of Eric. Like, it's not like they're fucking children. They are grown ass people who can absolutely be held legally accountable.
I mean, that is whiteness 101. Mm-hmm. But you're going after Trump's kids. They're not kids. They're not kids. They're not. They're his offspring, but they ain't fucking children. Like, they're not little kids. Oh, they're raiding the lives and destroying the lives of his children. Are they five?
Yeah, they're not charging Barron with fraud. Like, right. that might be a stretch, maybe.
Right. That guy's going to be a liberal. He's going to be like Ronald Reagan's son. You watch. Future, that guy's going to be running a podcast like, my dad was a piece of shit, and I'm sorry. Like, conservatives will hate him, just like they hate Ron Reagan. They fucking hate him. And he's like, my dad had dementia, guys. Like, for real. They're like, no, he didn't. He's like, I was there. Like, at night.
I don't know if you know, I'm literally his son. So.
Yeah, I was literally there.
Yeah.
I was in the White House when he couldn't remember his fucking name. What are you talking about? At the news conference, James is seeking to permanently bar the Trumps from conducting business in New York and pursuing $250 million in penalties. The state attorney general's office is also seeking the appointment of an independent monitor to oversee compliance, financial reporting, valuation, and disclosure to one-enders, insurers, and tax authorities at the Trump Organization for at least 5 years, a.k.a. her own special master. Boom, motherfucker. At the press conference, Letitia James said, quote, Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to further enrich himself and cheat the system, and repeatedly and persistently manipulated the value of assets to induce banks to lend money to the Trump Organization. Look, that's a fact. That's not speculative. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. And like, apparently, like, she hit him up with like mad examples, like in the actual document. It's an inarguable fact. Like, it's quite literally there. Like, they talked about that a number of months ago, or maybe a year ago, on the news. It was like, here was a golf course he bought. It was previously valued at X. He didn't do anything. And then he submitted that it was worth like five times that. And then when it came time around to pay taxes, he devalued it. Didn't make any changes and dropped the value down to shit so that he wouldn't have to pay nearly as much taxes. Like, it's inarguable. It'll be interesting to see what the right wing tries to like ramp up on this and be like, no, that's not true. Like that data is publicly available. Like, and it's been publicly available for over a year. So I don't know. It'll like, oh, he's a genius businessman. Yeah, no, him owning it does not increase the value 5x. Like that's not how valuations work.
Yeah, nor is he a genius if you know the things he was doing that were so smart have now landed him with a fraud suit against him. Rather, this is a civil suit, not a criminal
charge. Yeah. Well, I guess it is the art of the steal. So, best of luck.
Well, and meanwhile, like the investigation findings, like she's going to be referring those onto the U.S. Southern District Attorney's Office and the IRS, because she's like that. They are the ones who can do criminal charges if they want to against him for this stuff.
Yeah, and if he gets nailed on the civil shit, they're going to go after him criminally. Look, I do like the idea they can't do any business in New York. That's pretty good. I mean,
Florida's going to, you know, welcome them with open arms, but still, like the fact, like getting kicked out of New York, I think would be a massive fucking blow to his ego.
Yes. Like, what's he going to sell that Trump Tower? Right. Like he's got to get rid of that. Right. Like
he's going to have to. Well, assuming he doesn't get like repoed by the state as proceeds of a fraudulent enterprise.
Yeah. I just. It'll be interesting to see what he does here, but this is no small thing. So look for this to kick up pretty loudly over the next couple of months.
And boy, I gotta say, like the thing that's great about this is that this happens regardless of what he decides to do in terms of running for president. Like I know that there's still some hairiness with the whole, you know, government document situation. If he ever declares and like, what's the DOJ going to do? Just James don't have to give a fuck about any of that.
Yep. Not at all. And look, ain't nothing to save your ass. Not from the state. Good. Lindsey Graham. Let's talk about, I give him credit.
I did not know he was in the habit of helping out Democratic congressional campaigns, but lo and behold.
Okay. Lindsey Graham is a fucking idiot. He's not even an idiot. That's not even fair. Lindsey Graham is not an idiot. Lindsey Graham is a hypocritical piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's also a liar.
And also an idiot.
I mean, to do this now, it's pretty idiotic.
This is really stupid. Like he's either dumb or has some of the poorest political calculus of anyone that I've seen.
I mean, this is the guy who's like, no, I've just never been married because I'm busy. Like, like, no, they'll believe that. Like, really? Okay. No one believes it. No one.
Yeah.
No one. Just come out.
I mean, again, add this to the pile of like Trump's a kook, and like if you don't like Joe Biden, there's something wrong with you, and like all the other great Lindsey Graham isms we've had over the past 6 or 7 years.
Yep. It goes back on all of it. GOP Senator Lindsey Graham says abortion is not a state's right issue. Weeks after expressing that the states should decide the issue of abortion. And I like how they put them in quotes because that's what he fucking said. So he came out basically last week and he's like, listen, y'all. There should be a 15-week national abortion ban. And Democrats were just like, can you speak into this mic louder, please? You dumb fuck.
Can you say that again? We weren't recording the first time. Like, can you repeat that? Because we need something for our campaign ads that we have for the next couple weeks.
Don't mind me. I'm just holding a megaphone next to your mouth. So he was like, listen, I think that there should be a 15-week abortion ban on a federal level. Like, fuck the states. And like the article title says, he literally a couple weeks ago said that this should be decided by the states. And this is a states issue. I'm not even going to pretend to be shocked by this. No one should be shocked. Of course they were going to try a national ban. I didn't think it'd be Lindsey Graham who would try.
It's so weird. And the best part is Marco Rubio's co-sponsoring it. What?
What are you doing?
Like, what are you doing, Marco?
Again, Val Demings is like, okay, like this is what you want. And she's on your ass, dude. She's on your ass. It's bad enough that Roe was overturned that this goes to the states. the idea that you would then come out and before the election, before the election, I could see if you were like after and you're like, all right, or I don't know, the day of maybe, like, I don't know. Like I could see after saying like, hey, we're for a national ban now. Like, okay, that's crazy. But I can see that before the race, you're just going to piss off more Democrats. And here's
the thing, like we all knew that if Republicans got control of one or both chambers of Congress in the election, that they would put up a 15-week national abortion ban. Like they'd hinted at it. Kevin McCarthy alluded to it, saying, oh, you know, if we win, like, we'll, you know, we'd think about considering this and stuff. And it's one thing to like know it. It's a whole different thing to fucking not only say it, but also draft a bill to this.
Absolutely insane.
When you don't have power. Like, that's the thing. Like, what is he like there? What is the purpose of this? As Lindsey Graham put it, people deserve to know where we stand. Okay. It's a bold move, Cotton.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out for you.
Yeah, that's
because all you're doing is you're making it harder for people who might vote for you, but very much care about bodily autonomy and the right to choose.
Yeah.
You're making it hard for them to hold their nose and do it, essentially.
Like what the fuck?
And Lindsey Graham's not even running. Like he's not up for re-election. He's just hanging every other Republican out the dry. Because now if you're running in a contentious race and you're having a debate, where do you stand on Senator Graham's 15-week national abortion ban? What is your position? Right. And you either have to agree with it, which is going to fuck you, disagree with it, which is going to fuck you from a different angle, or give some mealy-mouthed answer about how it should be a state's issue, but you support the blah, 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 and it's going to make you look like an idiot. Like that's, it's not an issue that you can dance around.
I just don't understand why you would do this before the midterms. Like, from a political aspect, you're just giving Democrats an absolute fire issue to destroy you with, right? Yeah. And again, the states, like, overturning Roe v. Wade was bad enough and people hated it. The vast majority of the country is like over 70%. Absolutely do not agree with it. But to make that argument for the last 30, it should be in the states. 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 Why don't you just move to a different state if you don't like it? Like, even if I didn't think you were fucking lying, which I always thought you were lying. Let's say I was naive and I'm like, all right, well, Republicans are men of their word.
Right.
Come on. Right. Let's say I was that fucking naive. Then you turn around and say, no, fuck that. We want a national ban because we do.
Yeah. Cause federalism's cool until it's not, until it doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. It's the worst. Who thought of this?
There's another gentleman running in Colorado. Who's he? Who's the other Colorado senator that he's running against? I can't fucking remember now. It's going to bug me, but I can't remember. It's Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett, I think, is running again. So he's running. Or no, Michael Bennett's in the House. I can't remember. Anyway, Joe Day, who's a Republican, called Graham's bill, quote, reckless and tone deaf.
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly tone deaf.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, again, you know, Georgia GOP Senator Senate nominee Herschel Walker.
Don't fucking put that out in the ether. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not a very smart man, but I'm going to try to debate on the debate stage against Raphael Warnock.
October 14th, motherfuckers. Get ready. Don't worry. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I need a stream, man. I just need a stream. GOP Senate nominee Herschel Walker says he would back Graham's bill, though he also remarked that the issue should be left to the states. See, that means nothing. You can't say it should be back to the states, but you know, I would also support a federal ban. Like, either you are for it or you're against it. like words have meaning or they don't. So it like this idea of, oh yeah, I would be for it. I mean, I'm for the states. I'm for states' rights. But you know, like now when it's convenient that I could just like run roughshod over everybody, like we should use it. I tell you right now, you try a 15-month abortion ban, dude. You better have both chambers, and you better have the presidency, and it better be a rubber stamp, because people are gonna flip the fuck out with you even trying, and they're gonna flip out if you're successful. They will flip.
Did you hear their justification for this, by the way? Like why they think it's totally cool to roll out a 15-week ban? Because they said, or Graham said, that it brings us in line with most European countries.
Yeah, I did see that part, yeah.
Forgetting, of course, the fact that, hey, well, if that's how you feel about healthcare, how about we get in line with most European countries when it comes to, you know, socialized medicine and guaranteed time off and extended maternity leave and all this other
guns, you know, yeah. Things like that. Yeah, yeah. No,
weirdly, no. This is the singular issue that it's important for us to line up with
right, right. 99% of the time, it's fuck Europe. Like leave those savages to their croissants. But they agree with us. Okay. Like and some of them do, right? I was looking at a map. I mean, it is the larger part of Europe definitely is like some level of like you can get it on request, but as this map says, like gestational limits vary, right?
Yeah. And again, I'm pretty sure that regardless of term, if the health or well-being of the mother was at risk, then they would absolutely let them do that.
Yeah, and look, Graham's bill does that. It has those cutouts too.
Mm.
Oh,
okay.
It has them. Will they stay? Yeah. I don't know. Like that's the thing. Okay. I don't believe Lindsey Graham because he already said that he was. You know, I mean, there are many lies that Lindsey Graham has told, but I mean, this is the same guy who says, well, if the Democrats had a guy, you know, who was nominated, you know, ready to be on the Supreme Court, I would vote. We would definitely not hold that up.
Use my words against me.
You can use my words against me. We literally are. Here they are. You fucking liar. So. Like, he's lied about that. He's lied about saying that it should only be a states' rights issue. He then immediately turns around and does this. Like, he's not a person to believe. Now, him saying, hey, these carve-outs exist, sure, they exist. Until they have the votes, and then they're like, nah, full ban.
I would, and I don't know if this data exists, but I would love to know the average, like, term, like, the average how far along the term is. For most abortions,
it's pretty low, man. It's not very many weeks. It might be over 15, but it's not very.
I don't even think it would be, because most women find out by the time you get to like 8 or 10 weeks at the latest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they're usually making that call fairly quickly. Yeah, and like I love, and again, this is a bad faith argument that they make all the time. And I love how they're like, oh, like we're, you know, we have to protect all these babies that are being ripped out of wombs at 30 weeks. And I'm just like, show me where that's happening.
Yeah.
That's like, show me where that's happening unless like the mother's life is in serious jeopardy.
And they say they care about that. They don't actually.
Of course. Well, that's what I said. It's a bad faith argument because they don't give a fuck, but it's also not happening. Like I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong about this. Most doctors won't perform third trimester abortions.
No,
unless it's an extreme circumstance.
Right, and I think that's all of them. I think that's all of them. There's no woman waiting that long and being like, okay, now, like,
yeah,
no, dude, like third trimester, you're fucking huge at that point. Like, that's not that's not a thing. Like it's just no, it's bullshit, and it's very fake. It's a very fake argument. Let's see, these are UK abortion stats, but let's just look at the. I'm just gonna say the UK. Not as a 1-to-1, but just a couple of stats which are interesting. Overall abortion rate is 16.7 per 1,000 women ages 16 to 44. Like.
So less than less than 1%. No, yeah, it's more than 1%. It's like 1.6.
1.6% of women have had abortions, basically. Less than 1% of abortions are performed for girls under 16. 0.4% of abortions were performed for women over the age of 45. Let's see. Women are most likely to have an abortion at age 20 when the abortion rate peaks at 29.1 per 1,000. So 2.9%. Abortion rates increase slightly for women over 25. So that's just a couple of like UK abortion statistics, which are probably line up fairly well with the US is my guess. Maybe not the, like those raw numbers, but the, like the ages and things like that probably do align. But
I might even think that those are higher than US rates because it's so fucking hard to get an abortion in half the goddamn states in this country.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true.
So,
I am curious about like when, you know, when actually like when do they actually do it?
Right. And again, I don't know if that data exists. I don't know if it's truly collected. It would be interesting to know just because that I feel like that would shut up a lot of these fucking arguments that get made.
It won't.
Oh, well, I mean, but at least you can know that they're completely baseless. And again, like also, are those percentages counting people that have to get the procedure done as a result of a miscarriage or, you know, as a result of stuff
right.
like that?
That's right.
Also important data to parse out.
Yeah. I saw a conservative woman say that a DNC is not an abortion. I'm like, what are you talking? Like, you know what? You guys don't understand anything about science. Why are we listening to any of you? You just want to exclude it so that you can act like the one that you got doesn't count. That's right. What that means. Like, it is an abortion. Like, it is. Or I don't know. Like, what would you call it? What's its own thing? Okay. No, it's not. In 2017, here you go. In 2017, okay. About 39% of abortions were conducted with pills or medication. These are generally taken up to 10 weeks after the first day of the last period. So there you go. So roughly somewhere around 10 weeks, right? 10 to 12 mm-hmm. weeks is probably... That's
or eight to 12 if we're being
8 to 12 percent, right.
I would say. Yeah,
so like, yeah, there's not a lot of this. There's not a lot of this nonsense. Also, if that's true, then putting this 15-week abortion ban, you're not really stopping much in the ways of abortions. Like,
yeah,
you're really not. You're picking this arbitrary date, and then that's why I don't trust that date. By the way, that's why I don't trust the 15 mm-hmm. weeks, because once they figure out that, oh shit, people are still having abortions and they're just having it at 11 weeks or 12 weeks. Well, what can we do about it? The only thing they're going to do is like full lockdown.
Yeah.
There's no way that if they have the votes that they're going to go, all right, cool. We got the votes. Let's keep it at 15 weeks. Because like, again, if you believe that this is murder, that this is mm-hmm. this is against God. If you believe that, then why are you waiting 15 weeks? Like, why are you?
I don't know why that struck me the way it did.
That's how pastors say it. These are facts. But like, then you have to own the fact that you are allowing all of these abortions to get under the radar. God doesn't like losing on a technicality. Fuck, like, what are we talking about here? Like, if you believe that it is evil and it's murder, then you, like, logic would state that you would want to stop it, period. Like, do you think murdering children is wrong? Yes, I think murdering children is wrong. Would you allow someone to stab them 7 times before murdering them? No, you'd be like, that's to stop violence against kids. Like, that's what you would do if you believe that it's truly that bad.
It's a complete from the moment that Roe is overturned, like it's a complete non-winning issue for them. And I don't understand why they continue to drive this into the ground. Like, are they just tone deaf to national opinion on this issue, or do they just not believe it? Like, I don't understand why any political consultant would allow them to run with this, because to do so is malpractice. Like, unless you just completely don't believe the polls that are conducted.
Well, I think it's I think that they live in a massive bubble. I mean, we all live in bubbles, right? You know, I'm not going to pretend like we don't. But I think they don't even hear anything. I mean, if you read that article, Lindsey Graham is like, I don't care what's happening in California. I care what's happening in South Carolina.
Cool, but you want to legislate for Californians?
Yeah, the
like,
irony.
If you don't care, then why the fuck are you even saying anything?
Right. Like, then fucking let South Carolina do their thing and leave California out of it. I mean, I think anyone in South Carolina should be able to get an abortion if they want. But if you're talking about a states' rights issue, which you backed, then why don't you say consistent? He's like, I am consistent. No, you're consistently lying, sure, but you're not consistent. Like, that's bullshit.
I mean, I mean, truthfully, I guess they have to, because if they're worried that people are going to migrate out of the state by enacting these draconian laws, then, you know, I guess you have to make them draconian everywhere. So, and then that way it's on a level playing field. Again,
but you know what? You know what, Brad? I think we just figured out why Lindsey Graham is doing this. I'm dead serious. Think about all the businesses that were like, you know what? Cool. If your state fucking bans this shit, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Lindsey Graham's thought process is, here's how we stop these businesses from leaving these states. Well, if it's fucked everywhere, where are you going to go?
All right.
You think he gives a fuck about this? He doesn't really give a fuck about this issue. No, he doesn't care. That's why he's playing politics with it. Oh, I'll give you 15 weeks. Oh, I'll give you 12. Oh, like, we'll see. Like, if you truly thought this was a crucial issue, maybe your only move would be full abortion ban, unless it's the health of the mother type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
No amount of weeks. Why would you give them more time to have abortions if you thought it was abhorrent? That doesn't make any sense, except for you're playing politics. That's it. Hey, don't worry, ladies. You can still get those abortions at 10 weeks. You're fine. What the fuck? I thought you thought it was bad because of God or whatever. Well, God will understand. Oh, really? Is that how the Bible worked? No, shut up. That's stupid. So it makes no sense. So I, like, as you say that, I wouldn't be surprised if that's his thought from a financial perspective. Like,
yeah.
then it can help businesses stay in South Carolina or whatever other.
I mean, it's got to be a little scary because, like, you have, like, you know, like Gen Con, for example. Gen Con is the biggest gaming convention, it's a board game convention that takes place in Indianapolis every year. And in the wake of laws that they were passing around abortion access, the Gen Con's like, you know, when our contract's up in a couple of years, we might look for another city to hold this convention, which brings in, you know, fucking 200,000 attendees over 3 days and shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
So and Indy's a convention town. Like if they lose major conventions, Indy don't have much after that.
Yeah. So it very well could be just a financial aspect, yeah. Which, like, as you say that, I'm like, it doesn't actually sound that crazy to me. Like, I could totally see Lindsey Graham being like, hey, this is how we keep all the businesses. We fuck everybody over just to get the money. Get the money.
Yeah, to stop the exodus of woke corporate America from leaving all the red states.
Yeah, but we need their woke money. Like, yeah, fuck right. You, dude.
Yeah,
fuck.
we hate wokeism unless it's paying our bills. So
wokeism, oh my God, these people are the worst. Speaking of the worst, Herschel Walker bumping up out of the This Week in Stupid into the regular part of the docket. Holy shit. that man on the move is Cole Trickle. Here he comes. The racist history behind Herschel Walker's I am not that smart debate comment. Look, I'm sure there is a lot here that we could dig into about race and everything else. I've given my thoughts on Herschel Walker and race. None too pleased. Okay. that's my sentiment in general. But Herschel Walker came out and said, look, man, I'm not a smart man, but I know what a debate is. He said, listen, Raphael Warnock is a smart preacher. He wears those fancy suits. These are his words, not mine. And he's probably going to embarrass me at this debate. Look, all this is the thing that the GOP always does when they have a shit candidate. They
bar lowering to the floor.
Yep. That's all they do. They're trying to work the refs. And by refs, I mean you and me, as standard listeners and viewers of this slaughter that's going to happen on October 14th. Yeah, they try to just lower expectations, bury that bar under the ground, so that when he inevitably doesn't piss his pants on national television and start crying, they'll be like, oh, this is a genius performance, genius performance. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Raphael Warnock is smarter than him. He is dumb. He isn't very smart. That's it. Like, there's no playing to the refs and all that other shit. He isn't bright. And if you get fooled by this, you're not that bright either. They did the same thing with Sarah Palin. Oh, Joe Biden is so much more experienced than me. I'm just a good old girl from a country town. Like, I don't know anything. But like, the truth is, she didn't know anything. She was kind of a dumb country girl. Like, she didn't know shit. And Joe Biden fucking had to work overtime trying to be nice while dunking on her for that entire debate.
And you saw them do it with Trump too, against Clinton, where it's like, oh, he's not a politician, this or the thing. And all he had to do was not literally vomit all over himself on the stage. And they were just like, oh, he held his own against the master politician, Hillary Clinton. Like, no, he didn't. He got his fucking pants kicked in. Like, what are you talking about?
Yo, he got destroyed in all three of
those. He got annihilated.
Yes. He got embarrassed. So yeah, this is a GOP tactic. This is classic. We're too dumb to figure it out. Sorry, guys. I'm just a country lawyer. Like, nah, yo, you're on the debate stage. You're supposed to be there because you have good ideas, so you say. And you're supposed to debate based on your intelligence, your understanding of the facts, your understanding of the topics at hand. And you're supposed to give your opinions on what you would do if you were the senator. If you cannot do that, I don't give a fuck if you're from the city, the country, whether you played football or not. You don't deserve the fucking job.
And that's the other thing. Like, if you truly are going into this, like, I'm so outmatched, like, I'm going to get my ass handed to me by this smart preacher. Why are you even doing the debate? Like, why do you feel like you need to at that point? Like if you literally are going in, like you said, saying, hey, I have no ideas to present to you, and I'm going to look like a fucking fool on that stage next to this guy. Why are you even showing up? Why are you even agreeing to do it?
Why are you on the ballot?
Yeah, like, well, that too. But like, I feel like that, like, no debate would be a better strategy than like a terrible debate performance for you as a candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I don't understand people voting for this guy over Raphael Warnock. I really don't. Like, this guy has, I mean, not only is he stupid and he's really, really dumb, he's also crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's crazy and he doesn't understand basic facts.
You know what upsets me? Warnock is too good of a dude.
He's too nice
to drag that shit up. If any normal, like, skeezy politician would be like, cannot wait. Yes, us too. Would not be wait to hammer Herschel Walker with, like, yeah, like, you held a gun to your wife's head. Like, yeah, bragged about how you played Russian roulette. You lied about how you, like, graduated as, like, a valedictorian of your class or whatever, and all this other bullshit. Like they would call him out on all that dumb shit. And I feel like Raphael Warnock is, like, too good, like, too decent of a person to, and, like, he will want to keep it focused on the issues.
Yeah, look, I understand that. I'm gonna need Raphael Warnock to sit down at the foot of the master for just about 30 minutes. You got to sit at the foot of the master. Elizabeth Warren, like, let her show you how to just rip his head off in the first 5 minutes and then get to the topics at hand. Like, that's it. You just gotta come out, rip that dude's fucking throat out on national TV, show it to the crowd for applause, and then you continue talking about the policies. You gotta get him once, man. One time. Cause if you don't send a killing blow at some point, people are gonna be like, ah, that guy's kind of a pussy. Like, that's the thought process, right? Like, that's the thought process. People like strength.
For me, I'd be like, hey, like, so, you know, do you believe in universal healthcare? Or, like, are you fine with, like, the ACA and stuff like that? I'd be like, oh, man, phew, gun to my head, which my opponent knows all about.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Like, there's so many things you could level him on, man. You could absolutely level him on. I'd be like, you know, my family's here. And Herschel Walker's family's here, and his other family. Are they all here, Herschel? No, but
like,
I
don't know about the good air that we're producing that floats over to China, but you know, I'd certainly like to,
yeah,
to use more like electrical renewable energy.
Yeah. Like hit them up, man. If you don't hit them at least once or twice, people are going to think you're a pussy. And it's ridiculous because this guy's like, you know, he's like a reverend. Like he's supposed to be a nice guy, but he's going to have to be a little bit of a dick. Like once, you just got to get him once. Like after that, you just let it go. But you got to, like, you don't have to be like us. Like we're pieces of shit. Right. You're supposed to walk a nice path. We don't believe in any of that. But
can you see if we can moderate the debate? Like, oh, can you get it to the moderators? Like, I know we're not Georgia residents or like connected to Georgia.
Neither is he. Anyway. Neither is he. Who cares?
Yeah, so it puts us on even playing field.
Yeah, he's a
we're talking about the issues, and then we'll have to like Herschel Walker. It's just gonna be like a collection of clips. Like we have a clip for you, candidate Walker. Like let's play the clip, and then it's like the good air thing, and then our question is. What the fuck were you talking about? You have 60 seconds.
Next question. Like, no, he doesn't. No, I'm hoping that debate is just, for me, I'm hoping that's the first time a lot of people who haven't been really paying attention to that race and they're like, oh yeah, Herschel Walker, that guy's all right. And then watch that debate like, oh, that guy's not okay. Like that guy's brain is broken. Like it is bad. He's got brain worms. Like I want it to be that, like, I am not a witch. What is it? Christine O'Donnell or whatever her name was who ran in Delaware.
The Delaware chick.
Oh my God. She was so crazy. I'm not a witch. Like I'm more than you've heard. Like
I don't think I'll ever understand this weird desire. And it seems to be mostly on the right. That has this weird desire to like want to elect
morons.
Politicians that are like you in terms of like, you know, like personality and intelligence and like,
yeah,
things like that. Like, I don't like you, these are the people that are supposed to be representing you in government. Like, you should want the best of the best. And like, I get the whole like, you know, Ivy League, you know, stigma and stuff like that, and certain professions that people come from. But there's a reason that like a lot of lawyers go to write legislation. Like it kind of comes with the territory. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be the occasional like AOC and things like that, but like you have to show that you're confident in running up to this stuff. And plus AOC also worked for other politicians as well. Like she had experience in government, essentially.
Right. And she's also incredibly smart.
Also correct.
Incredibly smart. So
I don't get this whole like it's important to nominate and elect like these everymans. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, I'm not saying that you need to, you know, elect the dude that's like the hedge fund CEO or like the lawyer to the stars, like with all this name recognition. But like you do want people that are like smart, incredibly confident, know what the fuck they're talking about, can speak intelligently about these things, are good communicators about these things, like have a little bit of savvy to them, have a little bit of shine to them, because again, half of politics is, you know, the politics work, and then half of it is fucking your salesman, essentially, yeah. Yourself. So,
well, like apparently the selling method here is I'm dumb. I'm real dumb. You can't believe how dumb I am. And if people are like, yes,
vote for Herschel Walker.
It's amazing. It's amazing. All right, Brad, here we go. Now Brad has not seen this clip.
From one Georgia idiot to another.
Woo! Here we go. This is a good one. Got Marjorie Taylor Greene, making her valiant return, to This Week in Stupid. Now, Brad, you have not seen this clip.
As if beamed down by a Jewish space laser.
This might be the dumbest thing she's ever said, Brad. This might be the dumbest thing.
That's a tough bar to overcome.
All right. You say that. Here we go.
Here's something interesting. So Air Canada, get this, has ordered 30 electric airplanes. Yeah, electric airplanes. How about that? Electric airplanes. So, I mean, it shouldn't surprise you. Look who's the president of Canada. I mean, Justin Trudeau, right?
President of Canada.
President of Canada.
So we were joking around and we were talking, how is there an electric airplane and what does that look like? So we were just making fun and thinking about, remember back a long time ago, and you've seen movies where people in those slave ships and they're down there and they're rowing and they're being whipped to row. We're saying, how are they going to keep powering these electric airplanes? What are they going to have? It's like a spin class in a tube where they've got everybody riding spin cycles. And then those mean, nasty airline stewardess that force you to wear masks all the time on the planes back when we were forced to wear masks. Are they going to be forcing you to like keep spinning to keep the airplane in the air? Like, it's absurd.
Well, something certainly is absurd.
Again, I'm forced to ask this question, and we've asked it before. I'm going to have to ask it again. Republicans know what batteries are, right?
They do not. They don't. I am offended on so many levels. I'm offended.
Well, there's lots of levels to be offended. But they like fossil fuel. Before we get to the really egregious part of it, which I know we're going to lead into, they're familiar with fossil fuels, right?
Yes.
Like, they understand that, like, fuel isn't being delivered to the plane or the automobile in real time, right? Like, the fuel is stored in a tank. And then when you press the go pedal, when you press the vroom vroom, the vroom vroom
the thing, vroom vroom pedal.
The That's car,
Brad. I'm a real pilot.
Yeah, in the pilot, it's the go stick. You know, when you pull back on the go stick, and you know all that stuff. The conveyance tells the fuel tank and says, "Hey, fuel tank,
Brad. They don't know what a conveyance is."
Okay. The vehicle says, "Hey, we need some gas to make the engine go forward," and the gas is like, you know, the gas tank's like, "Hey, no problem, we got you, boss. Here's some gas." It's kind of how it works with anything that's powered by electric as well. It's like, "Hey, we need to make it go fast." And they're like, "Cool, we got the power right here in this battery." Now, I have lots of questions about electric airplanes. I can only imagine the size of the batteries that would have to be in a fucking airplane.
what is the weight? What's the weight of the
power of that fucking thing?
Right.
Frankly, it'd be pretty fascinating. But regardless, again, you can save electrical energy and then deploy it as needed, even in the air.
No, impossible. me bad at English. I'm offended on so many levels. I'm offended as a person. Like, this is a general person. I don't like to hear evil being pumped into my brain. That's just madness. I'm offended from the hey, it's like slavery. I don't like that. Like, what the fuck are you talking? Electric planes equal slavery in your mind? Like, yeah. I get it. She's talking about like in old movies, not American slavery necessarily, but it's just, why is slavery even at the forefront of your mind? Two, I'm offended from like a Peloton perspective. Like planes are already uncomfortable enough. They're not making people ride on bikes. That's crazy. No. And then I'm offended as a person who owns an electric car because it has batteries in it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Does she think that I plug in? Like, does she think that like my car works like those lawnmowers, the electric lawnmowers, but they have the cord? Like, you can only go so far. Like, I can only go so far from my house, and I have to turn back around. It's like, oh, cord's hit its distance. Sorry, man. Can't come see you, Brad. I can only go, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I would imagine that, like, at least early model electric planes are probably have very limited, like, distance that they can travel. Because there's only so far that you're going to be able to get on, you know, with the amount of capacity. But then battery technology, you know, gets better over time and,
yes,
you know, shit like that. So, yeah, I just... I can't understand how, like the microphone that she's holding in her hand, how does she think that works? Like, does she think that gasoline is being poured in that and used in real time?
Yes, that is exactly what she thinks. Okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't know if you know this, Brad, not bright.
No. And again, I don't know if it was because of the bad, like there was bad audio mixing, but you could hear a pin, like you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody was giving up the yucks for that. Yeah. That's very stupid thing. And she's like, yeah, I was talking to other people about that. Who were these other people? Were they also in agreement with you, or were you saying this and everyone was like, okay, Marjorie. Like, or were they like, no, that makes sense. Yeah, like the rowing. Arr, yeah, like the rowing. Like, they're batteries. They're fucking batteries.
Imagine if today's Republicans were around in like the mid 1800s when like the steam engine was created. And like, imagine them like fighting, like, but what about all of our horses? Like, what's going to happen with all the horses if we create machines to propel us forward?
Yeah, these were the people screaming about the death of the buggy whip. They're like, no, the industry. Yeah, of course. There's always been those people. By the way, you were asking about the electric airplanes. Here's an interesting fact.
Curious.
The Swedish made these are the ones being bought by Canada.
By the president of Canada.
The president of Canada. I was like, I saw a comment. They were like, he's our prime minister, you dumb bitch. Like, don't bring us up. Shut up. It's like,
you're giving her an awful lot of credit if you think she knows what a prime minister is.
Or could spell prime. Yeah. A handful of airplanes.
That's my favorite brand of cigarette.
Ooh, tastes like democracy. A handful of airlines, including United, Mesa, and Air Canada, have started putting in orders for battery-operated aircraft called the Heart Aerospace ES-30. The Swedish-made four-propeller battery-powered plane seats up to 30 people and could fly short-haul routes such as from Palm Springs to Los Angeles or Denver to Aspen without emitting any carbon. They're slated to be in the air in 2028.
Okay, so yeah, super short, like bunny hop flights. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's cool. And look, they're slated to be in the air in 2028. That's 6 years from now. Like, the technology on batteries will be far, far better in 6 years. I mean, it's far better from, like, my car's a 2019, and new electric cars can do, you know, further distances than my car could. Like,
well, and you gotta walk before you can crawl. Like, it's not like the first electric car ever, like the first electric ground vehicle ever produced was a Tesla.
Yeah,
like you had like electric golf carts and like other shit. Like,
and they've been around fucking forever.
Yeah.
Nobody uses more golf carts than her fucking homeboy. What are you talking about? They plug those things in, they charge overnight, and then they drive them around the course. I mean, my car is basically just nothing but a very nice golf cart. Like, quite literally. I mean, even the, like, quite literally, the regenerative braking and
it's golf cart technology.
It's golf cart technology. That's why people are like, oh, that's kind of weird. I'm like, you ever driven a golf cart? Yeah, it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
You take your foot off the gas. It stops. Like, that's how it works. You don't have to use a brake. You can if you want to. I don't even know if golf carts have brakes. I think
they have brakes, yeah.
Yeah, but you only use that in, like, emergency. Like, you don't really fucking have to. You just slow down, right? So, which is kind of nice. Like, that's another thing. Like, brake pads. You don't have to fucking wreck them because you can just slow your car down. But, yeah, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. But, analysts at the U.S. National Renewable Energy Laboratory are now projecting that hybrid electric 50 to 70 seater planes will be in service within a decade. Now, see, that's also cool. Having a hybrid, right? Like, where you could do these, like, much long hauls, but you could cut down the emissions significantly.
Right.
If you could do half of it or
just also, like, make the shit cheaper. Because if you're not having to fucking buy jet fuel for these fucking planes, which is fucking expensive.
It's super expensive.
Yeah. Like, I can't understand. I mean, I understand why, because they're all, you know, all the Republicans are deep in the pocket of all these fossil fuel companies. Right. But even the fossil fuel companies are just like, yeah, we got to figure this shit out because, you know, the public really wants to move towards electric vehicles, and we want to still make money when that happens. So,
yeah, absolutely. So they'll become electricity grid providers or something. Yeah,
they'll become renewable companies.
Yeah.
Again, makes sense. I don't know if Republicans also, again, need to be made aware of this. The people leading the charge for innovation in these fields is these same companies who they're just like, no, we must still use fossil fuels to protect their profits. Like, no, like they're still figuring this shit out. Because they're not stupid. Right. They want to still be in business.
Right. They're smarter than us. Like, that's like, yeah. Oh, no, like, let's not legalize weed. What are the cigarette companies going to do? They're going to sell weed. don't worry. They
100%. Yeah. Philip Morris is going to become like the Philip Morris Institute of fucking of marijuana.
Like, you can guarantee that they already are ready to go. They're like, it legal? Legal? Not legal. Legal? Yeah. Seed. Go. Like, yeah, they're going to be ready immediately. Like, get the fuck out of here. They're not trying to figure it out. They figured it out. They're waiting for you to figure it out. Like, that's it. So, no, I think this is awesome. I hadn't thought about the idea of the hybrid planes, but that's really cool. Like, especially from a sound perspective. Like, and how quiet they are, because planes are loud as fuck. Here's an interesting thing about electric vehicles a lot of people don't know, right? Your car, your gas-powered car, makes so much noise because the engine is so fucking loud. You never have to consider this. My car, they actually spray foam on the insides of the tires because otherwise to cut down on road noise, because the road noise would be so loud coming through the car because the engine,
there's no engine to mask it. Yeah.
Yes. Like, the engine is so loud in gas cars, you don't notice how much road noise there is. And I don't get any road noise because they do that. So it kind of evens out. Same sort of thing. You can hear the road, but it's not bothersome. But because gas powered engines are so fucking loud, they're like, yeah, it's fine. But they actually have to add in this lining of foam into the tires just to cut down on the road noise because it's so fucking quiet. So, like, if you could cut down on the noise in a plane, yeah, that's kind of dope. I mean, it's not horrible.
I really hate how when I do fly, like, I can still hear absolutely everything, even above my noise canceling fucking earbuds.
Like, all right, these Bose are fucking useless.
Like, I don't have Bose money. Get the fuck out of here.
I do. Those are fucking nice.
Well, I take it back. I have Bose money. I'm not inclined to spend it on Bose.
That's a fair point. Look, I didn't want to either. I was like, buy now? Fuck. But I keep headphones for a long time. So it's like over the course of a long, and I use them all the time. So it's worth it to me. But Not Bose. I do have a pair of Bose. I don't even use them anymore. No, I have Beats. I have the Beats headphones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're stupid expensive too. But Bose, yes. I do have one pair of Bose headphones. They're fucking dumb expensive. Like, they're dumb expensive. Jesus. I should probably use them more. But yeah, look, I think she's an idiot, but the idea of electric planes is very cool. I actually kind of want to look at this.
Getting back to her and just Republicans in general, like, I just don't, like, what's the deal with, like, talking about this shit, like, oh, this is pie sky and witchcraft nonsense. Like the way they talk about this stuff is weird. Like, I would respect it way more if they were just like, no, we think that fucking gas powered cars are the shit. That's why we hate electric, because you can't get the fucking roar of a fucking Mustang engine like in an electric Mustang. Like, that's like, and like that at least is like a more impassioned and logical thing, but they're like, oh, you namby-pamby liberals eating avocado toast and your Teslas with your electric cars going on. I'm just like, what do you
plug your car in at night so you don't have to go to the gas station? Yeah, that's what I do.
That's exactly what I do.
You know, like, what are you talking about? You don't even pay any extra. I got solar panels. Like, it actually cancels it out. It's like totally fine. Like, what a cuck. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Again, I'm going to be driving today. Like, I don't give a shit. But it's weird. It's a very anti-science, very Luddite sort of view of the world. Like, it's just very, very strange to me. But I don't know. I think they're scared of the future. They're scared of change. So they just make fun of it until they sort of get kind of forced into it. And then it's, oh, I was always here. Right? Like, I think they feel a little bit more okay with electric cars now that, like, the Chevy is out there, right? Like, you get a pickup truck. Yeah,
fucking F-150 Lightnings out here that are fucking all electric. Like,
I mean,
like,
it looks fucking dope. Like,
it does. Cool. I'm not paying $95,000 for
no, the prices pickup. Are fucking stupid.
Yeah. They're fucking stupid. But, you know.
Well, I think the Lightnings are actually more reasonably priced. The Rivian is like crazy.
Oh, the Rivians are crazy expensive. Yeah, like I saw those and I was like, wow, those look really cool. And then I saw the price tag. I'm like, no, thank you. Like, we're gonna stick with our hybrid hybrid truck the next time it's time to get a car.
Yeah, so. look, here's the thing. Me, as a person who owns a Tesla, I'm like, those Rivians are expensive. Like, that should tell you something. Like, Jesus Christ, who's paying that? Like, they're really pricey right out of the gate. But I don't think they're going to do well for a number of reasons, unfortunately. But look, man, I think, look, electric vehicles, whether they're planes or cars, is dope. I think we need more of that. But we also have to upgrade, like it's good that the grid is going to eventually be upgraded, but we also have to get off of using fossil fuels to power the grid that is powering these electrical vehicles. Yes. Because that doesn't make any sense, right? But there is an opt. You know, you are eventually opting out of being in that chain of process. But, you know, again, I have solar panels. I do the best I can for my one car, but yeah. You know, that's not true for, you know, across the entire United States. But yeah, she's an idiot.
Complete moron. Yeah, like I said, the slavery comparison is fucking weirding. And like you said, she's not talking about like American slavery. It's definitely like, you know, like more like Roman slavery and like shit like that of, right, you know, people banning the boats. But
why?
Yeah, like why are you bringing it up in the first place? Fucking strange.
Slavery, front of mind. I guess there's not a lot going on in there, so everything is kind of front of mind. You know, she think it come out.
maybe mentally that's just where she's at, like in like the time loop. Like, she started at like, you know, the Cro-Magnon age, and she's working her way through human history to eventually get to modern times.
Yeah, that's why she's like, electric bird in air? No way. Only row. Like, all right, cool. Like, maybe. I mean, she's a cavewoman. She is. Dumb cavewoman. All right, that's it for us. We will be back next week with another episode.
How did she think the first planes flew, for fuck's sake? It wasn't with jet fuel, I'll tell you that.
The Wright brothers, like, a lot of people don't know this. They just had like a little canister. They were like filling it up. They're like, fuck yeah. Don't look over here. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, all right, we're doing it. Like, nah, that's just wind, man. This is wind. That's what we need to go back to. Wind powered planes.
Yeah,
that's
wind propeller fucking planes. Let's go. Yeah. Like three passenger. You got the pilot and then one person on each wing, and then let's fucking go.
Hanging on for dear life. It can go from Palm Springs to Palm Springs with no carbon footprint whatsoever. None. Not a fucking one.
Oh, shit.
All right. This is like show title material at the last second. All right. That's right. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.